Welcome to today's service. We had a few technical difficulties today, and we apologize for the sound quality, especially starting in the last third of this recording. Thank you.
Yeah, that's better. Welcome to our service this morning. It's good to have you here. My name is Bob, and I get the privilege of breaking open the Word to you. So let's pray before we get started. Father in heaven, we come into your presence this day and we trust that from hearts filled, you are already pleased with our praise. We've been reminded of truth about your character and we come to your word. And we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, it impact our hearts and our lives in a way that leaves us different. And so we come to meet with you today. Speak through your humble servant, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have you here this morning. Let me fill you in. The title of the message is Talking and Walking. Class is in. Now, we've been in a series, and for those of you who only do church speak, I'm sorry, but I will tell you what the series is about. It's been about prayer and holiness. Now, a couple of disclaimers. You can go back into the archives on our website. You can bring up the sermons. You can listen to a series on prayer. And you need to know something. I wasn't giving you tips to how to get your way from God. I wasn't giving you a special stick where you could beat the God pinata and have your wishes fall from heaven. I was talking to you about listening and aligning yourself with God's desires. Listening to and aligning yourself with God's desire. Learning how to hear and communicate with God was step number one. And learning how to live in accordance with what we knew God was asking and what God's desire was what we were talking about in hearing from God. That was the talking part. The walking part has to do with practical holiness. And we entered into this 3 or 4 weeks where we're going to understand this concept of holiness and why it's in any way important to us right now. And then we're going to begin to unpack a progressional holiness that we can develop intentionally in our lives, and that will take us probably into May, right, Chris? That's what we were talking about. Depends how many sermons I let Chris do, because he speaks long, and then he wants to divide them into two, and I can't stop him. No, I'm just kidding. It's been fantastic. So last week we started in 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 to 12, and remember I said he starts with a therefore. You always got to back up. And because every time he says therefore, he just made a point and now he's applying the point, right? So he makes a point and he says therefore, and then we're going to begin our passage. And I said, wait, let's back up. What point did he just make? Well, he said, in light of what God has just done and this glorious truth that you have, that this new life is alive in you, there's something that has to change. He says, when you understand that God loved you and sent his son to die in your place and that he's holy and you're not and something had to be done, when you enter into that, change happens and new life brings a change. And all of you that have babies and have had new life come into your home, you go, yes, we agree, new life brings a change, the most important being no sleep. And some of you are smiling and nodding, going, I get it. Let me sleep now, quit bothering me. Yeah. Then Peter went on to say, new life brings a change and how you live matters. Remember he says God is holy and because you've got God in you, you're to be holy. And I said, how do we kind of unpack this? And the best I could come up with was the illustration of the sun. And that there's hot gases that are at work inside the sun itself. And it's just way out there. And the sun internally is on fire, right? It's holy. And I said, the glory of God would be kind of like the light that we see from the sun, and his holiness just radiates. And every time somebody encountered God in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, they were awed by the light, right? Because dimly reflected. And that the radiation of the holiness of God was the glory of God, the light that we see, and the righteousness of God would be like the work of the sun, right? It's in keeping with the character of God himself, that holiness that burns and the glory that we see has an effect on lives. And you all know that it takes sunshine to make things grow. You feel the warmth of the sun. You tan. You bask in the sun. At least we used to until winter came. Actually, it's not bad now. It's getting nicer again, right? So last week we talked about how we live matters, and that the stakes are high, and that one day we stand before God and give an account. And if you want to catch up with all of it, it's there on the web. He's saying, pay attention. You no longer live as before. Now, I understand before you didn't know. You didn't have this new life in you. I understand that you weren't sensitive to what was really happening in the room. In fact, I understand that you'd given yourself over to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more. Everything you did for self wasn't satisfying, and you just continued to try. And some of you know what that's like to be there, right? You think that a new truck will bring you happiness till you start making payments. You think that a new sled will bring you happiness. Well, actually, they do, honey. Sorry, that was for my wife. Yeah. I'm going to get in trouble. My mom's going to listen to this online. I'm going to get a phone call. This isn't good. But the self-satisfaction, the self-pursuit, and he goes, hey, I know that before it's like this, but it's changed. That's the old self. So pay attention. You no longer live as before. This is no longer your reality. He says, what you've been shown about Jesus changes everything for you. It says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your own self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. What does it mean to put off the old, put on the new? What's he talking about? This is no longer your reality. Well, I think there's a qualifying statement here. He says, if this makes sense to you, two things have happened. First, you've heard and responded to the gospel message. In Luke 8:18, it says, take heed how you listen or how you hear. And in Mark 4:23, it says, he who has ears, let him hear. Do you know there's a lot of people that came to hear Jesus? There's a whole bunch of them that sat at his feet, that were in the crowd, that debated his teaching. And some of the greatest religious minds of the day completely missed it, right? In fact, they were the ones that killed them. And Jesus said to the audience, he who has ears, let him hear. He who's here to listen and whose heart is receptive and who understands and who gets it, let him hear. And it was more than just receiving information. It was coming to the realization that God himself had sent his son, and this was the sacrifice we were waiting for. This was the one. This was the Son of God. And they saw the miracles for what they were. And I'm saying, if you've heard and responded to the gospel message, if you know that you were a sinner and that your self-pursuits had no satisfaction and that what you were living for had no fulfillment, no nothing, and there had to be more, and somebody told you about Jesus or introduced you to a relationship with God, you've heard and you know better. And if you connected in your heart and you said, that is for me, and you said, I received the payment of Jesus on a cross in my place for my sin, and I enter into this thing called a life with God, and we use this fancy theological word, regeneration, where God reached in and made you alive. And last week I suggested just a little piece of that fire from the sun was started in your heart and in your life. And if you feed that thing and it grows, it changes your desires. It changes everything about who you are. And the glory of God begins to glow from your life, and the righteousness of God is seen in your actions. That spark was made alive in you. And here's the qualifying statement. If you know this to be true about Jesus, and if you've prayed that or accepted that and embraced that relationship with God, guess what? You have now enrolled in the school of discipleship. And he's talking to you. And when he says, pay attention, he's talking to you. He says, pay attention. You got to change. The old has to come off. This is no longer your reality that the old works. You need to change your clothes. You need to take off the old person and put on the new person. In verse 22, the same word or phrase, put off, or really exchange one for the other, is used over and over in the passage. And it talks about putting off lies, falsehood, and speaking the truth, putting off this and taking on that. And the truth is, the old is replaced with the new in place of. In Colossians 3, verses 8 and 9, it says, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices. And I want you to note that it's talking not only about actions, but underlying attitudes and mindsets. You see, I can tell my kids to go take off the dirty clothes and put them in the hamper and put on something else, right? We've been outside doing something very important, like messing with a motorcycle. And we're dirty and covered in grease. And I said, don't take that inside. Mom will kill you. Take it off. Throw it in the hamper. Put something clean on. And they do it. And that's great. But that's just like the outward. And we can enroll in the school of discipleship and start to change our actions and say, well, I can't swear anymore. That stinks because it's feels really good. And I can't do this and I can't do that. And start to change our actions without the inside being changed. And yet in Colossians it suggests that the underlying attitudes and actions that caused that old self to show up are actually changed out with the new self. And we're going to get into this as we talk about holiness. Well, it says to take off the old and to put on the new. And in Colossians 3:12 it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's a new bundle of attitudes, emotions, and practices that we're called to put on. And I want you to see, as you enroll in the school of discipleship, as you accept what God has done, and as you embrace the fact that this is a journey where something has to change and the old comes off and I embrace the new, it's not enough to simply have the enrollment papers. And here I have to stop and say, seriously, no, still like that. I have to stop and say this. Some of you got lied to, okay? Someone somewhere said to you, all you need to do is say these words out loud and begin a relationship with God. And they sold you a bad bill of goods. They said, when you get to heaven, you just show them the enrollment papers and you're in. That's not what my Bible says. And you need to check it out if somebody said that to you. It's more than showing up with your enrollment papers. You have to attend the lessons or learn the truth or engage in relating with God. You must apply the knowledge. You must be a part of putting something off and embracing or putting something on. And you must understand that there will be a requirement. There is a test at the end. When you get to heaven, you stand before God. Hebrews 9:27. It's appointed for mankind to die and after that to face judgment. See, here's where this becomes so important. The change that happens in you and how that works is essential. You might say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't like where you're going. Well, let's take a look at some passages. Matthew 22, verses 1 to 14. It's a parable. I love these stories. Let's read it. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent more servants and said, tell those who have been invited, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed the murderers and burnt their city. Well, there's some anger. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out in the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes. The man was speechless. Then the king told his attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. You see, I believe that there will be many shocked churchgoers when the Lord comes, who think they've responded to the Lord's invitation to come to the banquet of heaven, but in fact have never really with their hearts entered His school to get ready. Oh, they walk in the door, as it were, when the bell rings, and they don't listen to Him. With their lips, they honor Him as the schoolmaster, but with their hearts, they're far away. It's as though they weren't even there. When the master says, change your clothes, they adjust their collars or shine their shoes or tuck in their shirts, but they won't take off those cherished habits. They won't strip away those old attitudes of racism or the love of money or the addiction to pornography. They want the hope of heaven, but they won't dress for heaven. They won't change their clothes. And Jesus says in the end on graduation day, bind him hand and foot and cast him into outer darkness. He had never really enrolled with his heart. It was all a show. In Hebrews 12:14, it says this, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. In 1 Peter 1:15 to 17, talked about it last week, it says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. And if you think that God does not deal harshly with impurity among His people, I want to take you back to Joshua chapter 7, a guy by the name of Achan. Now, I get this guy. He's wandered in the desert. He's watched a whole generation of people pass on. He's ate manna every day. His shoes and his clothes didn't wear out, the Bible says. And he didn't have anything for himself. God provided everything. You think, what a wonderful place to be. God just provides everything. But what if you don't like what's on the menu? Stinks. Manna. What's today? Manna. What's for breakfast? Manna. I'm tired of manna. Yeah, it's manna again. And they come across the river, and then the very first thing God makes them do is go through a purification, right? And there's the whole circumcision thing, which, whole nother message, we'll get into that some other time. Let me tell you, it's not a happy time. So then, instead of fighting, they march and get mocked. But on the seventh day, the walls fall down. God shows up. And for the first time, they're going to live in houses they didn't build, inhabit gardens they didn't plant, vineyards harvested from. And Achan takes for himself a little bit of the treasure and hides it under his tent. Well, there's a big thing going on, and a bunch of guys go off to another town to just look after some stragglers, and they get thoroughly beat up. In fact, thousands die because there's sin in the camp. And God and Joshua deal with it. Let me tell you, purity, holiness, putting off, putting on, it matters. It's not just my opinion. He said, hey, wait, pay attention. This is important. And if you really want to engage in this issue of holiness, the life of God showing in you, growing in you, get your Bible out and read it. It will terrify you, I promise. And it will get you to class and get you paying attention. So you say, okay, Pastor, you convinced me. The old has to go, the new has to come. I'm enrolled in the school of discipleship. There has to be change. How do we start affecting it? The first is to understand you're in a very unique school. This is no moral self-improvement course. It's not your job to come in and design clothes you'd like to wear. In fact, that's legalism and self-righteousness. It's not your job to read and interpret. It's your job to come in. And that to realize that Change comes by grace through faith for the glory of the Creator, not the student. And at the school of grace, new clothes are created and a new person we put on is created by God just for you. And that new attitudes, emotions, and practices come from God to me through the Holy Spirit. And in Ephesians 2:10 it says, we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. The school is completely different. And you're not going to come and regurgitate information and you don't get extra credit for how diligently you sit in class, but you're to come and you're to sit at the feet of the Master and you're to understand and relate to God and you're to allow that life that He implants in you to grow. Where do I begin to engage? Legalism says I design, I try on, I repeat the information, I follow the rules that are designed to prevent me from unholiness. And yet, the rule of grace says God created for me a new life. God does this work in me. He grants to me the new in place of the old. And as I take off the old and embrace the new, it's a work of God that's a mystery. Verse 23 is the key. It says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. And if in this passage we find that the old is fueled by the absence of truth, that the dark way and the self way was fueled when we didn't understand the truth, the new way is fueled by the truth. And the bridge between corrupting deceit and sanctifying truth is the renewing of our minds. And so what does it look like to have our minds renewed? Remember last week in 1 Peter it said, prepare your minds for action. Yeah, you're going to have to engage your brain. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The very first thing I said, or that you do, is realize that you can't unring the bell, and that truth matters, and that focusing our mind on truth begins to change how we do things. I did something deeply spiritual yesterday. I went to the bike show with my son. Is this getting worse? Am I the only one hearing it in the monitors, or you're hearing that? Does it bug you too, or is it just me? No. Can we go to this mic here? Let me sum this up a little bit. The renewing of our minds is where it starts. You see, when you encounter the truth, and the truth starts to affect your decisions, and your reasons for being, right? All of a sudden, everything changes. And even your desires change. And as you go to school, the school of discipleship, and you look at putting off the old and embracing the new, don't be overwhelmed. Start with the renewing of your mind. The embracing of the truth about who God is, what He's done on your behalf, the fact that we're just passing through, that it's not all about here, it's not all about now, and begin to make decisions in light of what God says, what's real. The unseen. Well, let's ask the big question. So what? Let's try and bring this home. We're talking about holiness, talking, walking, classes in. The first thing is you got to pay attention. This is not my opinion. This is not something we negotiate. This is a non-negotiable. Change must occur. If you don't get this, you need to go home and get your Bible out. And you need to see what it says about a new life in Christ, about putting off the old and embracing the new, about being different, about when he starts that new life in you, that it grows and it glows, and the glory of God is seen in you and the righteousness of your actions, that it bears fruit for the kingdom. You want to talk about scary passages? Talk about being a branch that bears no fruit. What does the gardener do? Get the Gospel of John out. Have a look.
He throws it in the fire. Folks, if you know this truth, change is not optional. If you know who Jesus is and what he's done, if you've enrolled in the school of discipleship, you can't keep going in your old clothes. There has to be change. Enrollment's not enough. The old goes, the new arrives. You're different. I know this is a process. I know it takes time, but it takes intentional engagement to begin. I want you to see that class matters. You see, it's easy to find information that's clear and concise. It's easy to find commentaries and all kinds of people to give you their opinion. You can go online, you can go on the internet, there's a big library, there's a library in my office. We've never before had so many opinions about what God said. And you can find somebody that will justify your behavior if you want. The truth is, class is in session. And you need to be someone who prepares their mind to hear from God, who knows what it means to listen to God. He who has ears, let him hear. To seek the truth and to respond. You see, doing is important. I want you to remember that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of those days had all the arguments down pat. They had education and information beyond what you could imagine, and they missed Jesus. But we make this so difficult. We make this something where you've just got to know more and then you'll do the right thing. You know what? Your heart has to change to do the right thing. It's a work of God in your life. But yes, you have to know more of God and allow that to grow. And if you want to look at it this way, the more time you spend in the Word and listening to God and reflecting on God and seeking God, the more sticks you put on that fire that's begun in your life. And as that grows and radiates, it changes everything about who you are. And the impurities start to burn away. The things that you used to like now bother your conscience and bother who you are. Here's a great illustration of that. How many of you had a movie that back years ago you watched and loved, although you knew that there are parts of it, maybe some language or this or that, and then recently you've watched it again and you just went, what was I thinking? I thought that was cool. Ooh, I don't remember that. I didn't know that theme was there. You see, hearing and responding, doing is important. And let me tell you, folks, I can easily recognize the new clothes you put on, and so can the others in your life. Scary thought, eh? But those new clothes, the off of the old, on with the new, recognizable by those around you. Pay attention, class matters. And don't forget, you're going to a totally different school. The Bible tells us that the very Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit of God, is in you. And that the Holy Spirit has work. It reveals truth. It guides you. It empowers you, that we're gifted by the Spirit of God, that we're enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. If we have this living Spirit of God within us, we don't have to do the creating, we simply have to do the allowing, the surrendering, the turning away from that which we know to be sin, and the turning toward that which we know is God Himself. Change is growing holiness. It's right attitudes, it's emotions, it's actions, it's this new person created for you, experienced by you and those around you. And the key to your engaging point or your beginning point at school is this. You're to be renewed by the transforming of your mind. You're to be immersed in truth. Here's the so what, okay? Do you spend more time with the lies and culture of our world or the truth of God? Now, before you answer that easily, how many hours of TV do you watch? What do you spend your time reading? What do you spend your time doing? See, See, I'm not coming out against TV. I'm not saying you're evil if you watch it. I'm just saying, are you immersing yourself in truth? Are you giving it a chance to change your perception? Right? Because if you think everybody has this attitude long enough, if you think stuff brings you happiness long enough and nothing corrects that, you begin to think it's true. And that's the old self. The new self is different. And it says, turn away from, put off the old clothes, put on the new clothes. How are you doing it, immersing yourself in truth? How are you doing it, the correction of your focus? Do you have a journal when you read the Bible? Do you spend time reflecting with God? When you leave here, will you write down the things that you think God may be saying to your heart? Are you actually willing to change your opinion? Or are you going to leave here and try and find ways that you could refute me from someone that has a different attitude? Or are you really going to open up Scripture and have a look? Are you correcting your focus? And then I guess the renewing of our minds comes with a commitment of faith. Say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about this. It's a mystery how God does everything in our lives. And there's a step of faith where you say, I believe your word to be true, and I know your spirit to be at work, and I'm just going to take one step of obedience, and by faith, know you're going to meet me and enable me. See, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to change this in my life. It may be an addiction, it may be a pattern, it may be something that I know is part of the old self, and I need to put on a new. And I'm going to take the first step, and I'm going to ask for help, or I'm going to involve somebody in praying with me, or I'm going to commit to stopping this, or I'm going to commit to doing this, and I'm going to ask for your empowering. And I know that you don't have the power to do it in and of yourself, and I know that you've probably tried and failed, and I know you've been frustrated, and you might say, hey, these old clothes, that's all I got. Maybe this works for everybody else, it doesn't work for me, and I'm telling you, that's Satan. He's lying to you, it does work for you. You are the ones Jesus is talking about where he says, greater things than this will you do. And I'm sending you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live within you. And as you learn to know his voice and grow in your understanding of God and his desires become yours, the glory of God's going to shine to the world around you. You're going to be a light. Not hidden under a bushel, but a light. And your actions are going to be righteous in keeping with the character of God because that's what is alive in you. And it's not going to be a bunch of rules you keep to. It's going to be a responding freely and abandoned and abundantly to whatever it is God wants. You might say, well, Pastor, you might want my money. Maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for him. But I'll tell you this, if you make the step of faith to change, to meet with him, to adjust your perspective, and he asks you for something, you're going to be so happy to give it to him. You're going to be so thrilled to engage with him. And you're going to see clearly what really matters, that you're going to look crazy to all your friends and absolutely right with Almighty God. Because one day, this place where all that we amass and all that we have and all that we think is important and it just rusts and rots and goes away, one day this is all going to be gone. And we'll have eternity. Eternity with God. Let's pray. Father, I have no idea how to communicate how important this is to your people. I know you're holy, and I know you require holiness of us, and that you call us to be like you, and that the school of discipleship is all about learning to live like Jesus and understand the principles of the kingdom of God and live differently and to have truth affect us in such a way that we no longer desire that which destroys us or doesn't reflect you or is impure or unholy, but we desire what's right. And so I just ask by your Holy Spirit, you just take this amazing truth and bring it home to us. And as it disturbs us and as we say, well, wait a minute, Father, open your word. Show us from your Spirit and from the truth that this is so key. And then begin this wonderful work as we surrender and embrace this in changing us And from here, would our town be changed? And would people just see who you are and be drawn to you? Would your glory shine from us? And would we act with righteous motives? Would injustice bother us? And would the poor matter to us? And would the hungry be fed by us? And Lord, would what's important to you become important to us? And then would you use us in your world? I know that you desire to do this, and you desire your church to be active and effective. And so begin this transformation in us, we pray, over these days. In Jesus' name, amen.